to our Lone Star Podcast. It is Monday, August 10th. Does August 10th count as the dog days of August yet? Maybe not yet, but we're getting very close. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatel. Happy to be back with you from the DG Flophouse. I've left the clippity-clop hooves at the Brentwood behind me, and I'm back hunkered down in what amounts to the home office out here in the DG Flophouse. Very happy to be joined again today by the Texas bread. We've had such success with Texas breads on these Lone Star podcasts. We're just going to keep it that way till the bitter end. Only, 3 days of racing left at Lone Star Park. And we've got this fun evening racing wrinkle as well, taking a tough situation with the heat and making the best of it. And to talk about this early double on Monday here with you, he's John Pinder. John, how are you today?
Doing great, PTF. How are things up in Saratoga?
Things are good. It's warm. It's not Texas warm, but it's warm. And I have front-loaded my day of work today. I already did a little radio appearance for a local station to promote the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation barbecue tomorrow. And then when we finish up, we're going to do something new and cool. So I'll put the plug here so folks know what to expect when it drops later today. I don't know if you had a chance to read, but a couple of weeks ago, Chris Larmy, long a friend of the show, wrote this piece about, and you'll be interested in this particularly, pick five betting strategy, talking to a number of successful players. And we're going to do the audio version of the piece, essentially. And I like this idea. It might be stolen from my friend Al Studart, if I think about this too much. But the idea of doing a series of pods, like a little more evergreen, focusing on a particular bet type. And Chris's pick five piece, just the absolutely perfect template for it. So we're going to do that a little bit later today. But speaking of betting strategies, how did your strategy work out in last night's Lone Star Stable Duel Showdown? Where did the John P. Stable end up?
The John P. Stable finished up the track piece.
So you're giving heel Spencer bragging rights. Is that what you're telling me?
Unfortunately, I am. Yes. We've got, I don't know, this would be, I don't know, a 24 furlong or whatever race, but we've got a couple more times to go around here. So hopefully I'll catch him towards the end.
Yeah. And you need to talk trash back. That was such an unusual, I mean, it was brilliant. I love Spencer, who in real life, of course, I mean, I think we're breaking kayfabe here as wrestling fans will understand the term, but in real life, the nicest guy. And he just went straight up heel on you on yesterday's podcast, predicting correctly, as it turned out, that your selection in the first race was going to finish second. He was not clever enough to have the $100 winner, though.
Very true. Very true. It was good times.
You've got three more chances to get revenge, and so does the audience. Now, the way the deal was set up, if you didn't play in the first event, you will not be eligible to participate in this $250 free roll. But each of these $5 Lone Star contests on Stable Duel have a prize pool of their own, including some Lone Star swag for the people who finish 1, 2, and 3. So it's still very much worth going over to Stable Duel and definitely talk trash. Spencer's feeling full of himself today. I'm not going to lie. He was way up the leaderboard. I think he was in like the top five heading to the last race. He did get a little bit of comeuppance there and only ended up finishing 20th. But I'm sure he's still feeling pretty good, beating 80% of the field. So we need some listeners to come in and you know, we got to take him down a peg, heel Spencer. And the only way to do that is to get involved, beat him, and then send out some friendly but still strongly worded tweet telling him that he's been put in his place. We look forward to the listeners doing that. The next contest opportunity being this very night goes at the first race goes at 8:07 Eastern, according to Timeform US. And this is a 3-and-up claiming race for $20,000 claimers going 1 mile on the turf. And for me, this is an interesting exercise in trying to figure out a horse that maybe really likes running on the turf, who hasn't got to do it that much, and then maybe identifying a favorite who doesn't seem to really want anything to do with the green. But before we get to my thoughts, John Pinder, how are you going to kick things off in this first race at Lone Star tonight on Monday?
I think we're on the same wavelength, PTF. I like, of course, the number five, Karate Hottie, has got a great name to pronounce. But I don't And she fits the bill with regards to numbers and should be tough in this spot. But like you're thinking, she hasn't done it on the turf. She's only been on the turf once before. And maybe that's an angle that we can use to get her beat. I really like the three horse, Quinn Murphy in here to somebody. He won't be a super long price. Broberg's got two in here. So, I think she's going to be the one who really likes the turf. She's been running against tougher, and in turf races, it's always about, you know, the trip, of course. And with her late closing kick, I think some of these girls who hadn't been necessarily on the turf could stall out there, and then she comes running in late at the wire to take the goods.
I could see it. And one thing I'll say about the pace scenario here, if you just look at Timeform US, it does say favors on or near the lead. But this is a spot where you have two separate entries. And I'm wondering if we won't see at least some team tactics. Now, I do see Keith Asmussen is listed on both the 2 and the 2B. And actually, Lane Luzzi is listed on the 1N1A. Now, I don't know in the Texas rules. In New York, that would mean one of each would scratch. But if the entries stay whole, you'd like to think that there'd be at least some team tactics that could set it up for one like Quinn Murphy. The one that I like, though, in here is the 7 Frozen Hannah, who I just think, when you look, her best race was on turf, an 85 buyer. And even if you just look at the recent races, it's only the one turf race. But when you look at the recent figures, it's like, which one of these things is not like the other? It's the one turf race because it's so much better. And I do think she has that hint of tactical speed. And you mentioned, it's funny, it's like you were reading from my notes. I did have a note to mention how much I love the name Karate Hottie. But between the breeding, which doesn't say turf one bit, and the fact that the one time on turf ran a speed figure of, I think it was a 14 buyer, I'm told that's not good. I feel like this is one we can hopefully oppose. Now, maybe she's just going to go out there and wing on the lead, but if Karate Hottie wins, it'll be without me. I'm going to take a shot with the 7 Frozen Hannah. I think I'll also play a backup. I like your case on the 3 Quinn Murphy, and hopefully we can get out of this first race at Lone Star tonight alive, if not in the pick 5, at least in the double. And that double closes with our second race. We've got 3 and up claimers, 4,000 going 5 furlongs on the dirt. John, how did you see this one?
I could not get creative in this leg, Pete. I think it's a 2-horse race. I think we're looking at either the 5 or the 2 to bring this one home. So I was trying to find some value in the first leg to be coupled with the either Swiss Minister or Mimi Joe to finish off this leg.
Now, when I once pronounced that Mimi Joe, Jonathan Kinchin spent like an hour making fun of me, saying that clearly because it's 2020, it was Meme Joe, and I'm a boomer, etc. I will not make you, a young man, suffer the same indignity as JK put to me. I don't know. It could be me. Let's see if does the name offer us any clues. No, it honestly could go either way there. I give preference in this spot to the 2 Swiss Minister dropping down in class. I like the trip that this one's going to get. And as for the 5, also makes sense. I couldn't really argue with you, but this is one who's been sort of at this level. And I just feel like I got a lot better at handicapping claiming races around the country when I got away from my more straightforward that I typically will use in New York type handicapping, which is all about pace and figures, and really started paying attention to class. And I think class-wise, Swiss Minister on the drop may have the edge. So I may use both of these, hopefully getting a little bit of value beating the favorite in the first leg, but I'm definitely going to press the 2 Swiss Minister. What do you think about class in general as a handicapping factor, John? Is it something you look at, or do you stay more rooted to form cycle and figures and pace scenarios?
It's really one of those things after I've gone through those first several that you mentioned, Pete, that I use that as a determining factor as to include or exclude. So it's probably number 3 on my list. Really important, but the numbers are, and I'm a data guy, so the numbers are first, and then I use those, that class as a as an in or out determining factor.
I like that idea, coming up with a short list, and then when you've got to pare down that short list to make your final decisions. I've just noticed over the years, and I think it's correct, I can't really explain why, from a data point of view, this probably sounds a little soft to you, but it does feel like all tracks are not created equal when it comes to this. And when you're dealing with some real bread and butter claiming racing like this, it just seems to matter a lot more than on a major circuit like Saratoga. Does that pass the sniff test to you, that analysis?
Without a doubt. Pito, I was again looking at this. I'm not going to pick this horse, but he really caught my eye, the 9 horse, Mars Curiosity. And so I'm looking at this horse, and he'd ran at Fairmount at Tulsa, and really, I mean, gritty horse. And I was really trying to include him, and I look up the PPs, and he's 10 years old. And there's a couple 10-year-olds in this race. And I was like, wow, these guys are still at it, still battling. And when you talk about that class, obviously, they're running consecutively. It's like, due to their age and keeping these guys going is the secret to their longevity. But you can definitely see, he was running it, for 10,000 at Fairmount. Then the next race, it's 5,000. Now it's here at Lone Star at 4,000. So class definitely comes into play. And I think this one's just outclassed just a little bit.
What a cool horse, though. I'm glad you mentioned Mars Curiosity. You just got to love these bread and butter runners. I think some of it also, how they can run so much more at these levels, is they're just not going as fast. I think there's a lesson about the modern thoroughbred and how fast they're going and how that can just take a toll. And it's just easier to produce all kinds of smaller injuries because of how fast horses are going. And somebody may say to me, hey, but if you're right, if horses keep getting faster at the top levels, why aren't the times so much better? The theory I've heard on that has to do with racing surfaces. The surfaces today are actually considerably slower than surfaces of days of yore, which is why you don't see track records being beaten the way that you do in every other kind of sport that involves an athlete and a clock. And I think that's an interesting point, something to think about anyway. But Mars Curiosity, 48 lifetime starts, 19 wins, and made over 297,000. That's a pretty good servant to connections right there. And the kind of horse, I'm with you, not one that I was planning on putting on the tickets, but this is one that I will be happy if I lose, in the sense of it'll be a great story seeing this one, if they can come in from Fairmount and beat this group. But I do think it's going to be tricky. I really do like Swiss Minister in this spot, and we'll be backing up with Meme, whatever you want to call her, Joe, in the 5 spot. I suppose I could have watched some old tape and gotten the name pronounced correctly, but, you know, give me a break, people. All right, John, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you for your time. You'll be back tomorrow, and tomorrow we're going to go for a bit longer because we've got these Texas bred stakes, and we're going to have CJ Johnson joining us as well. We'll have him looking back to Yellen's run at Saratoga here over the weekend, and also looking forward to some upcoming stakes runners he's got in the barn. CJ, always a nice guy and very fun to check in with. Any closing thoughts from you, John, for the listeners before we get out of here on this Monday?
No. Join us over at the Stable Duel, even if you didn't get a chance to participate yesterday. It's a great app. Keeps you interested, and going in, you put your picks in, and then you get to sit down in the afternoon and root your horses home.
It's not bad to get a full day, or in this case, night of action for $5. And of course, just sets you up that can be your action. And then you can look to make your serious bets at Lone Star through the Tote. I couldn't agree more. You can get more information, go to the App Store and download the Stable Duel app, or go over to StableDuel.com. That will do it for today's show. I want to thank you, John Pinder. We'll thank our friends at Stable Duel and Lone Star Park as well. Most of all, I want to thank all the listeners for making these shows so much fun to do. May you win all your Lone Star Park photos.